Announcer Mitch here. This episode contains a frank discussion of the U.S. Supreme Court decision to rescind Roe v. Wade on June 24, 2022. As filtered through two episodes of Max Headroom, Rakers and Baby Grow Bags. While the discussion is framed using the science fiction ideas of the show to tee up this talk, it is much more about the reality of current-day America, rather than the world the show has created. It just so happens that, in this case, those two places are eerily the same. This conversation occurred on July 14, 2022. To preserve some of the more complicated and difficult parts of the conversation our hosts had, many of the jokes and funny production elements have been eliminated from those sections of the show. When the conversation gets real, the production style needs to get that way, too. There are some funny bits in the beginning and very end, to help cushion the gravity of the conversation. Please listen and consider. We'll be back with our regular lineup starting with our next episode.
Meanwhile,
I missed a lot by not having cable. I missed the kids in the hall.
Yeah. Well, that was on network television, but it was also the thing about Kids in the Hall that I like to point out to people is that I missed it too because it was my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
Even when I was home on those nights, by then I was like reading books and talking with friends on the phone or listening to the radio. There was just that I had moved away from all that stuff. So it took until after I was out of high school, lived with like roommates as a 20-something where people had recordings of it where they were like, oh, you should watch Kids in the Hall. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I vaguely remember that on TV. I caught it a couple times. Yeah, let's check it out. Yeah. And it was very eye-opening because I think I probably would have obsessed over it if I had seen it live in the moment. But because I kind of missed it when it was there, it took me a while to catch on.
Mm-hmm.
30 Helens agree.
If you want to remember something,
write it down.
That's what pens are for.
30 Helens agree.
I mean, it, certainly, other than, I mean, I kind of connected in my mind a little bit with Monty Python.
Inquisition.
Because there was so much men doing drag on the show because of the practical reason that there are no women in the group. And then there also being a queer dynamic to the actors in both Monty Python and Kids in the Hall. And so I think in my mind, I kind of, especially because I kind of started watching them a lot after high school around the same time. So I think my mind is kind of cross-pollinated all of those guys together.
I don't want to sound paranoid, but I know this place is bugged.
No way.
Take it away, Max! It's all yours!
This is Max
Headroom,
live and direct. Sitting in for
into the future. A Max Headroom podcast with Heather and Austin.
Hey everybody, while we're back, check it out. It's 20 minutes into the future with me, Heather.
Hello, and it's me, Austin, back again to talk a little bit about, this show is about current politics, right?
Absolutely. This show is only about current politics. It's never been TV related or media related, and we've never done a DJ mix. This is basically just a social issues talk show.
Yeah. We're trying to ride that wave of the David Reese, podcast where they bet on the results of elections, election profit makers.
We are the bad boys of podcasting because we don't play by the rules. The rules are for losers, and winners do what they want. No, I should say winners do what they do. I got it. This is wonderful. Okay. Winners do as they wish. How do you like that? Wish you were a winner? Then keep listening to us. Investment advice from two of the top minds. Unpredicted. The top minds are Long John Silver and the other one. What's that guy's name? He's totally awesome and cool. That's right.
Absolutely. Or perhaps a kind of throwing shade kind of thing where we highlight some things going on in the news and talk about our feelings about them.
I think they do it very, very well.
Green with envy.
What is it? It's not throwing shade anymore. It's attitudes.
That's right. They changed
it. They rebranded.
Yeah. Good for them.
Good for them. Absolutely. I love them.
Hi, I'm Homosexual. Central Bright Sophie.
I'm Feminasty Erin Gibson.
And this is Attitudes, LGBT plus issues.
Gender issues.
Pop culture.
Well, we have been gone for a spell, but this seemed like a worthwhile episode to put out. This conversation feels like something that... exists outside of time and space and the regular continuity for our show. maybe before we get into the heavy stuff, we can talk about something a little lighter, as we often do on our show. Let's catch up. It's been a little while.
Who are you?
I am Humite, High Priest of the Great God Ra. And this is my assistant, Yubi.
How you doing? What's new in life? What's going on?
These days, speaking of new developments in technology, I have a security camera on my porch.
You went for the brandless version, I assume.
obviously, as everybody does, certainly, and the data is private only to me.
Right. At the end of the day, it texts you and says, "Hey, I got some data for you. Do you want me to save this somewhere for you?"
Yeah.
Ooh, it's Todd. Gotta take this.
Often, I will hear the letter carrier on my porch because my office is right above the porch.
Right.
And then I can double check to see if it was the letter carrier and not somebody just stealing my stuff.
Got my eye on you.
Pre-pandemic, no one in this neighborhood is home here. Just never. Because we all had to go to work. So, like, any packages that were getting delivered had a good 6 hours on the porch before anyone would see it.
Those were the good old days.
Now, everyone's working from home. All of these buildings around me have people in them 24 hours a day. The second anything is put on the porch, it's kind of creepy. You can see hands just suddenly reach out, grab the package, and pull it back in suddenly as if like a monster is greedily absorbing some new treat that they've discovered.
My precious.
It's a very different package lifestyle than it used to be. Well, you know, this is normally the point in the show where we would talk about It's Max. It's Max.
In color.
It's Max.
Like no other.
It's Max, your dream on his own. A brand new life on his new hit show. And give you a nice plot breakdown and summary of what's going to happen in this week's show and whatnot. But... It's Max has been interrupted.
We interrupt this program for a special news bulletin.
One of those old-fashioned panel discussions where they would have like a couple of politicians come up and talk about, I mean, I was a kid, so usually some issue I didn't care about. So
right,
I was
exactly.
Like, this doesn't involve Lincoln Logs or Legos. I'm getting out of here. here's our special report. Sorry, It's Max. Next time we'll do one of those.
We'll have an It's Max.
Yeah. So I think the subject is kind of obvious because you've downloaded this as a podcast and you can kind of see titles and descriptions. So we would like to talk about current events and some decisions that have been made by the Supreme Court. The way in I'd like to do this is through talking about how children are represented in Max Headroom.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically looking at kind of two moments from the show that address babies. Because I think that while the subject is not direct and not explicit in the show, there's no abortion analog that we can reach for when we talk about what happens within any of the stories of Max Headroom. There is a fair number of children represented in different ways. There's two episodes that we haven't talked about on the show yet, but we have seen one of them, and we'll see another one soon. They kind of show the relationship between kids and education and how different people from different parts of the city have access to different qualities of education. I don't want to spoil things too much for Heather, who hasn't seen the lessons episode, but there's one coming up that I think you'll feel hits a little too close to home, unfortunately.
Right, and I'm assuming that's a classism type angle on that one.
Yeah. The fringes don't have much in way of education, and it's explicitly underlined. Anyway.
So like the U.S., just like the modern U.S.
Right. Again, discussed like 30 years before it is as bad as it is now.
Yep, discussed as a cautionary tale after fashion. Here we are.
So the two episodes in particular are Rakers and Baby Grow Bags, which have babies as not only plot elements to the shows and to some degree, but I think shed a lot of light on how children and babies are represented and how access to different healthcare is available in the fringes and in the nice big gleaming towers that we see in Max Headroom.
Mm-hmm. Now,
perhaps before we get into the nitty gritty, let's talk about how you felt when I showed you these clips. To recap, in Rakers, there is the relationship between Theora's brother and the girlfriend, wife, Winnie Cooper, and their baby, who kind of tangential to the story in some ways, but it's very clear the baby's not getting a lot of attention. They're very poor. They live in the fringes. If she would have had access to other kinds of healthcare, perhaps given the reality of their lifestyle, she would have made a different choice if she had access to it. The Rakers really kind of lays out that side of the equation. In Baby Grow Bags, we have a business that's available to those who can afford it, where babies are grown for you in a vat, in a lab, and you can come and purchase one when you want.
Yeah.
I guess, how did you respond to seeing these kind of separately from the political conversation that we're about to jump into? Like, when you just seeing these as like a piece of science fiction, did this like speak to you in any way or grab you in any specific means?
I can't see it separately from my experience as a woman living here in this society. I know I told you, and I've mentioned it. I've mentioned it in other places. I think I'm not sure where publicly. I've been talking about this quite a lot. Even back in the 90s, we were given a writing assignment, and we had to write about social issues for English class. I wrote a defense of abortion. This has been something that I have been. I am very pro-abortion.
Yeah.
I'm not even just pro-choice. I'm pro-abortion. It's healthcare.
Pro-healthcare, yeah.
Yeah. Ever since I was old enough to understand what this was, I've been very vehemently pro-abortion, pro-women having control over their own bodies. Mm-hmm. So given that that's something that has been with me since I've been old enough to understand the concept of it, I can't see the world of Rakers where it's not even strongly implied. It might be our bias yet that Winnie has this baby and maybe would have made some other choices.
I mean, I think that's life in the fringes, unfortunately. I think that's what this show, I mean, we see people carrying babies in other slight contexts. There's children in the fringes along with all of the adults. So clearly, I mean, I'm speaking as somebody who could make this statement definitively, but if I woke up and realized that I'm living in the fringes, like, I'm not having any more babies, you know, like, I'm flat out not doing that ever, you know, even if I was prone to doing it before. And so I think that the economics of living in the fringes, mm-hmm. the practicality, the danger, I mean, like, there's so many elements to it that, like, I can't imagine anyone having the thought of, like, you know, this is the perfect place to raise a family.
I know.
So once you show a family in the fringes, like, I feel like there's a reason those kids are there.
I know. Yeah.
It's so eerie to watch the science fiction show and see them to have gotten to the same point. And to realize that whatever we are going through in the world with these laws that are being passed and the access that is being denied, these people have gone through it too in this show. And we see the direct results of both rich and poor people kind of having to wrestle with, well, you can't really have abortions anymore. So here's what you do instead.
Well, and in Baby Grow Bags, it's obvious that the rich can get any health care they want. Same with here in the modern U.S. Mm-hmm. And this argument has been made again and again that the overturning of Roe versus Wade and the federal protection of a woman's autonomy over her own body being repealed is going to very disproportionately affect people with less money.
100%.
People of color.
Yeah.
The rich are still going to be able to get whatever health care their money can buy.
Yeah. There is a, I mean, certainly the financial angle on that 100%. It is interesting, though, that given all of those things, this woman is choosing specifically to go that route. And I think that there's probably a cultural pressure on her in some way. And they underline it a few times in the conversation about how these babies won't have defects. And so I'm wondering if she is sitting there and weighing the odds of going, like, natural birth is great, but I can't get an abortion if this kid has defects. And this one is perfect.
Well, and from what I remember in the Baby Grow Bags, I saw them out at the Bug Jar last week. Amazing. Like, such a talented band. They're so good. But in the episode Baby Grow Bags, I seem to recall she was also like, oh, I'm just too busy to carry a child.
Right, right, right. And this was something that I think speaks more to the 80s working woman attitude that was really prevalent in the late 80s in a lot of TV and culture. And so I think the writers were rightfully assuming, well, in the future, all women are going to have jobs and careers. And so being moms is not really going to be even maybe something they're familiar with or care about. And so this service is certainly going to solve a few problems all at once.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, again, it's interesting because we don't know the character's motives for wanting to be a mom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We don't get a lot of that.
Yeah, it's entirely possible because I also, as much as I never wanted to parent my own child, I've known people who have desperately wanted to parent children.
Yes, yes.
And they want children so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't disrespect that. That's their choice for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But so just, I think that we're going into the Baby Grow Bags episode with a little bit of bias, like, mm-hmm. oh, a kid, why? Why would you want it? And that might be our personal baggage that we bring to it.
Yes,
and
yes.
Maybe if we were like, oh, here are my children, my 8 children here. Let me put my embracing arms around them because I love them more than I love life itself.
Sure,
which
sure.
is valid. Like, that's how much you're supposed to love your kids. But
if,
I do
if you
see,
have kids, yeah.
we have cats. I do see that you and I are bringing some stuff to this.
We are bringing a little bit of baggage and personal perspective. I guess that's a good point that we should kind of get a little bit of that out front as well. Thank you for doing the other half of the hosting job for me, Heather. It's very useful. Now I know why this team works. Now I know why this.
I'm not just sitting here going, I don't know. Read the facts.
So, I mean, I don't have much more in terms of the science fiction angle. I guess I wanted to say a couple more things, and then I wanted to get into the reality of what we're dealing with in the world, because I think that's something that's been on both of our minds quite a bit. And we can relate it back to Max Headroom as much as we want, but I think that it's going to quickly go beyond. So we kind of didn't actually get to ever finish our Rakers conversation when we were talking about Rakers. We kind of ended recording on that episode a little bit early when we got to the part talking about babies. Oh. And so I feel like we did like a quick kind of cursory, like, hey, here's the 22nd version of like blah, 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 blah. But we never really kind of got to dig into that one very much. And this, I feel like, is an opportunity because this topic, these two episodes of the TV show, and our feelings are all kind of like circling around some similar ideas. And so I feel like we're going to be able to get, this is kind of almost a sequel to that conversation, and a prequel to our future conversation we will have about baby grow bags, which has a lot in it that is not just about babies, but there's a lot of baby stuff in it too.
We're going to be great on that one.
Yeah. So it's and then between the two children's education episodes that we have coming up, we're going to be talking about kids a lot. So get ready. Strap in, folks. I think you and I have kind of danced around this a little bit, but I mean, both of these episodes kind of represent the two polar opposites of the world of Max Headroom, the poor and the rich, and how their relationship with children is different, and how it is presented in an almost kind of like inevitable way, which I think meant different things in the 80s, but I think now we read in a very different way politically and intellectually. But I don't have much more about this because I think the rest of it is actually about issues and whatnot. But I think that it is so fascinating that for a science fiction show where that wasn't even the intended subject that they were trying to go for in any of the episodes about kids, like, which was on the minds of people in the late 80s. So it wouldn't have been absolutely crazy for them to say, hey, we should do a story about what abortion is like in the future. Like, that could have probably even been on the whiteboard of future ideas that they got to on the show. What I think is fascinating is that, like, in these scraps of these episodes, it speaks so much to how we got to where we are now and how they are in the same boat in the show. And for a show that regularly and consistently seems to predict the future in eerie ways that, like, seem like a joke or an offhand comment then and then are actually speaking very seriously about concerns that are going to come up very soon. I know I hit this note a lot when I talk about this show, but it's so eerie to realize I've been thinking about these issues for 30 years, filtered through the lens of science fiction. And that to have it continually pop up in our politics over and over again and keep slapping us in the face and going like, this isn't yet solved. Holy crap. How did we get here? I think it's interesting that people then were also wrestling with those same issues. How did we get here? I don't expect us to solve anything in this conversation, but I do feel like we want to get some things off our chests.
Yeah. And I know for me, it's been rough. Something in me since Roe versus Wade was overturned, something has fundamentally changed, and not for the best. Since 2016, my outlook has become more and more grim. Go figure. But somehow I had this little spark, this little glimmer of hope. There's just, you know, still, because I don't know who I am now. I used to, at least, like, there was a fundamental optimism to me, a positivity, like, we're going to get through this and it's going to be okay.
I see.
And something about this Supreme Court decision and what it's a harbinger of.
Right. Yeah, because this is telegraphing the future in a way that better than Max Headroom did.
Tip of the iceberg. It's going to get worse. And I feel very hopeless. I feel very helpless. I feel very impotent to make any kind of effective change except on the very, very hyper local front. Yeah. I can affect a little bit of change there, but like purportedly, everybody who is pro-life is doing it for the babies. This has nothing whatsoever to do with the babies. Nothing to do with the babies. They don't care a whit for the babies once they come out of the womb. Mm-hmm. If they cared so much about the babies, things would be awesome for childhood health care.
Yeah.
Well, all pediatric costs would be covered. Kids would be so educated. Mm-hmm. They'd be so nourished. If this were about the children, the ones that are out of the womb would be well looked after.
And
by
this
the government,
is,
I mean.
Yeah. And this is certainly the disconnect in our real world with the decisions and political choices that are being made and the realities that come from those choices and whatnot that are being made. Like the party does not want to take any responsibility for what happens as a result of removing abortion as healthcare. Like they don't even want to address that there is an after effect to removing that. They see this as just restoring the world to its natural order. And it's such a bummer that like we can't use logic to reinforce that they're doing something wrong. You know, like they're impervious to this, like, listen, here's the likely actual real world results of what happens when you eliminate access to abortion. You know, like they don't want to think that far ahead. They've already gotten bored when you're trying to explain that to them, because to them, you know, you're like trying to undo some sort of like, well, yeah, it's like, I'm getting rid of all the dangers in my house. I'm pouring out all the lie too.
What I have seen in this country, and gosh, I hoped, I mean, even a decade ago, I felt like maybe there's a chance. Maybe there's a chance this is getting better. The majority of this country deeply, deeply, deeply hates women. And I've been hearing a lot of rhetoric about now that Roe versus Wade is overturned, women will band together. They will rise up. And I'm like, no, they won't, because a lot of us hate each other. And
20% of the public will rise up and 80% of the public will yell at them.
Right. Because if you look at the number of, for example, white women who voted for Trump, a man famous for grabbing women by their we can't even say it on this show because we try to keep the language clean, very accessible to all.
Yeah.
We can't even quote the nation's former leader for whom many
not that
women
I want
voted.
To, but
he's a known rapist. He hates women.
Mm-hmm.
How many white women? A lot of white women, most white women, if I remember correctly, voted for him. So those women are not going to rise up because they privilege their whiteness and they privilege the patriarchy over their own autonomy, over their own bodies.
I'm going to say something that might actually get me a lot of letters, but I'm going to say it anyway. I think if you make that choice to behave that way and to vote that way and to betray your gender that way, that you're really stupid.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, you're no longer making choices because you genuinely believe those things. You're making choices because someone has told you to make those choices. And unfortunately, I think that there is an absolute core group of people like our ex-president, like his inner circle, who were helping him along the way to basically get whatever he wanted. I think that those people are absolutely in it for the evil long-run goal that you're talking about. I think the 75% of the rest of America who follows those people are dumbly, blindly, unintelligently following along. And I think that that's the saddest part of this kind of situation is that, fill in the blank with whatever issue. Like, they will dumbly, blindly, stupidly follow along. And that's the part that really gets me is that there's no reasoning with that kind of stupidity. There's no reasoning with that kind of illogic. There's no reasoning with that kind of blindness. You know, it's an all or nothing attitude where any new information is disregarded or discouraged.
Well, because there's the propaganda and the spin as well.
Right.
And again, the outright lies that then people get it in their heads and they're bombarded with this. For example, the idea that women use abortion care as routine birth control.
Well, no one I know has ever.
I was just going to say, gosh, I have met a lot of women and I've met a lot of women who've talked about their abortion experiences.
Yes.
None of them were like, yeah, you know, I just never use protection, but I don't want a baby. So I get pregnant 3, 4, 5 times a year and I just have an abortion every time.
Right.
Never.
That's
in my life. I've spoken with a person who says that.
That seems like to defy all reason for most of the women that I know.
I definitely know people for whom something happened. They got pregnant. Boy, were they pleased that they had access to go and have an abortion, because that was the health care that they needed.
Yeah,
and it
yeah.
wasn't even a struggle. It wasn't a pacing the floor.
It shouldn't be.
And it's a medical procedure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is like no different than like, wow, I'm suddenly really depleted of like electrolytes and I need to get like an IV at the hospital because like I passed out. And this is just medical care that you need as a person.
It's taking care of a person's body.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, I understand why people want to try to pull on the heartstrings.
Yes.
Why people want to do but what about the 10-year-old who's raped by her father and becomes pregnant? What about the exception for her? I understand. Mm-hmm. That's a great argument. And what about her? Because we know that there are those children who are being abused who now will not be able to access the health care that they need. And they'll have to go through something that can their little child body handle it or not?
Right.
Guess they're going to find out. Because guess what? They can't get the health care they need.
Yeah.
So good luck, kids. So I do. I understand, like, we want to bring up the saddest case solutions. But, A, those don't, and this is all over the internet as well, those imply for a person with a uterus, for a woman I'll use, to have autonomy over her own body, it first has to be violated by someone else first. That's what those exceptions have. Like, well, if someone hurt you, then you can get health care. But if you actually, egads, if you enjoyed sex and got pregnant from it, you're carrying that baby. Because let's punish women for enjoying sex. That's another part of this.
I mean, I don't think you can underline that enough, because I think that jumbled into this melange of insane non-rhetoric and just believing poppycock. I'm trying to think of the other word that for nonsense, but it's not coming to me at the moment. But I mean, that's absolutely embedded with all of this, is that like there is some sort of puritanical notion behind all of this that suggests that if I see a pregnant person, in my mind, I imagine how they got pregnant. And suddenly that has to be the purest vision in my head. Otherwise, I have sinned too. And it's such an insane perspective on the world, because, I mean, every time you see a pregnant person, you have to imagine. I mean,
I hadn't thought of that, but you're right. I guess I don't know. Maybe because I'm not coming from a Christian ideology. Now I'm going to think about that. Thanks, Austin.
Yeah. No, this is the only thing that can go through my mind when the sanctity of the act comes into question when it related to abortion. It's like, well, you're mad about sin in some way.
I guess so.
You know, there's so many angles to it that feel uncomfortable to me. I want to throw this out there as somebody who has less of a relationship to the physical component of an abortion, but more of a relationship to the conversation that you have with a partner about it. This kind of access is not just a procedure. Like, when you're in a relationship and you talk to your partner about things and whatnot, something that comes up is things like the day after pill, things like, getting various different kinds of contraceptives that in some mm-hmm. ways dispose of the possibility of there being a fetus and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are so many things that fall under this rubric that are, like, essential to just, like, got to go to the store, got to take my vitamin D, you know, like, these are not just things that we can, like, have returned to a shady back alley kind of scenario. Like, if we have to get pills again, we want them to be from a reputable source.
Yeah.
So I think that as someone who doesn't have to deal with the bodily components of it, but does have to deal with it as a practical thing, as part right. of a relationship, like, if you're sitting there thinking, like, wow, well, they got rid of abortion, I'm never going to have to worry about this the rest of my life. Like, I think your partner is going to have a very different take on this.
Right. Because even before the repeal of Roe versus Wade, there were many states that were making it incredibly difficult for women to access the health care they need, or people with uteri to access the health care they need.
I mean, like, I've been dealing with a lot of my own mental health, and I think that some people have been shocked to discover that part of it is a reaction to these passages that the Supreme Court have been making, and like me thinking through and rationalizing what this means for our country and for the people that I love and that I know. And you know, that might seem like, well, but like, I think that we should all be thinking this through more completely.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me who wants to dwell on the Max Headroom side of it is like, it is still a chilling image of the future that we're on the way towards. We're making every political choice to get there really as quickly as possible. So when I see those kinds of horrors playing out in a fiction, and then I see that happening in the real world, like, I'm like, this means all these other things are going to happen too. XYZ is also true. We're going to lose all of these rights too. We're going to leave, you know.
We are.
It's like, it's not, I mean, I was catastrophizing about this the other day, and some people said, oh, you're taking it too far. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm taking it far enough. I don't know if
I'm
actually, I don't know if I have actually considered all of the things that, because like every horror that's on my mind, there's probably five more that are in the mail, you know, that I haven't even conceived of yet, because I'm too hung up on what we've already been dealing with.
Yeah. I had someone who's a bit of an insider on political issues. I had that person say, like, it's so much worse than you think.
Yeah. I mean,
and
this was like,
I believe them.
I mean, I know a lot of people, because this is for people who are contextually maybe listening to this after the fact. Let's root this in some more time and place stuff. We're right now in the middle of the January 6th hearings. And so I have a feeling that all of these things are connected in a way where, like, we're given this weird little bone of hope through these hearings that are happening, while everyone else is setting up for the next batch of rights to be chopped off as soon as the Supreme Court comes back. I don't think it's doomsaying enough to bring up that reality.
It's not. And for the people who are telling you that you're overreacting because you're a man or whatever, this will definitely, to bounce back to talking with my friend who has the young daughters, and we were saying how, you know, this also will affect our other best friend who has young sons.
Mm-hmm,
this
mm-hmm,
isn't
mm-hmm,
necessarily mm-hmm. just something that's going to affect people who can get pregnant. Because then there are going to be scenarios where there's a pregnancy. Neither of the parents want to have this pregnancy. They agree with each other. Mm-hmm. They'd like to have the health care available to terminate the pregnancy. They can't.
Yeah.
Some would say, like, well, the one who doesn't have to carry the pregnancy, that person can just walk away. Is it that easy?
No.
Is it really that easy?
And then there are also...
There are the paternity suits that can happen. People who can't get pregnant are very likely going to end up being parents when they didn't want to.
Mm-hmm.
And when the person that they got pregnant also didn't want to be a parent.
Right.
Because that couple together doesn't have access to the health care the one individual needs.
I mean, I hate to drop back to Rakers, but I feel like that is played out in that entirely, where the male has kind of checked out of the relationship and has gone off to do this dangerous sport that might kill him, where he's away from home conveniently a lot. The partner is there with the baby that they couldn't necessarily get health care for to deal with, because that wouldn't have been a choice that they would have made in a regular relationship at that time in their lives. Both fiction and reality is reinforcing everything you're saying.
I'm too old for any of this to affect me medically.
Sure.
I'm sure that there are people, you know, my contemporaries, who maybe are even thinking, like, I'm worried about my sons.
Yeah.
What's going to happen with them?
The next generation.
That's legit. That's absolutely legit.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I think one of the other thoughts that's running through my head, I think we've hit a lot of the highlights here the things that I feel strongly about saying, is that it's going to get worse if we are not somehow active in some way, active against this.
What can we do?
Well, and we were doom chatting about this the other night, you and I. Realistically, I mean, this is the only advice I have, is that it ends up becoming a return to hyper-local politics. It becomes a return to, well, I don't know if I can do much more for my country, but maybe I can do more for my state. Maybe I can do more for my county. Because I think those are the only battles left to win anymore. So.
Yeah, because I see the Supreme Court stacked and ready to repeal
Everything. Yeah. I mean, anything that Kavanaugh doesn't like. I mean, I bet he had a list that he wrote out at that party where he was boofed or whatever. I mean, like, I bet he's like been thinking about this a long time.
Well, we've already got some environmental things that have been repealed, but I'm not clear on the details of that because I'm one human being and I can only take so much.
Oh, yeah. I didn't quite go down that grim rabbit hole, but I'm sure that it's worse than I imagine even.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
Being someone who has often found solace in science fiction.
That nerd alert, man. It's in our quadrant, too.
To realize that science fiction is often portending the doom that is very near and around the corner, I'm starting to feel wary of our project here in terms of reviewing Max Headroom episodes. I think there's some continued grimness ahead of us that we're both going to shrug and sigh about.
You know, we said there's no future. Well, this is it.
But I also feel like it has renewed my interest in trying to get through this project. I feel like what fascinates me is that all of these issues not only have been on the minds of people for longer than most Americans may want to know, believe, or may be aware of. But the science fiction writers in particular had an acute awareness of this that most Americans did not.
What can I say? It's a gift.
And that was, we're trying to kind of point people in a like, if this is true, our future's going to be like this. And are you sure you like that?
Yeah. I mean, this is probably one of the most reality-based things we've ever talked about
sure.
on this show, I dare say.
100%.
Just keeping it real.
It strikes me interesting that I don't think either of us really need to be explicit about where we feel seen in this conversation.
The game of inclusion. That's fun for the whole family.
But it does feel interesting that I have felt fairly strongly about people's access to healthcare, especially when it comes to children and whatnot, for most of my life. Mostly in a way of kind of like, I don't know if I'm ready to be responsible for children. I don't think I want to put myself in that position. I'm going to cut that off at the pass so that I don't have to make hard decisions about a child's future. you know, so that was kind of my perspective on all those things. And over time, I think that access to information about the political realities and the worlds that women have to live in on a day-to-day basis have only sharpened that view where, of course, they need to have autonomy. Of course, they need to have access to healthcare. Of course, this needs to be their decision and not mine. and so I think it's interesting that in this day and age, I have to sit here and yet again watch another group of people, mostly dudes, sit around and say, I think I know the answer to this one.
Same as it ever was.
And I'm like, you didn't then, you don't now, you'll never will. Like, this feels so hopeless. It's almost comedic. It's almost some bit out of like a Dada play from the 20s. Like, it seems like this is like so obviously absurd.
And yet here we are.
I fear the future rulings that we will see reflected in Max Headroom.
Right.
Yeah, I don't want a Supreme Court ruling where I immediately think, oh, wow, this is how Bruegel and Mahler get started.
Live on arrival. Very tasty angle, that.
Opens up possibilities.
Yeah.
I mean, it could happen still. Like, the year is there's still a lot of the year left, so... Let's change the subject before we really get into a doom cycle here, doom spiral. So we wanted to get this out because this feels like a relevant conversation. And for those who maybe are looking for more Max Headroom content that relates to the current real world, I would recommend reviewing Rakers and Baby Grow Bags with an eye for the way the children and babies are treated.
It's like homework, but fun homework.
Yeah, and I hear that Baby Grow Bags, the band, is on a little national tour. So go on over to babygrowbags.com, check out their calendar, see if they're coming to a town near you.
We'll give you the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
The sequel to this conversation is going to be the kids in education conversation that we have on this show, because there is more to come in terms of the way that kids and their futures are dictated by this television show. So if you're not mad enough with the loss of abortion rights, the loss of access to education is certainly going to be a 1-2 punch later on in this show.
I can hardly wait.
With regards to future episodes, I think we're going to try to get back on track soon. So our promise to get to The Circle is coming. We're going to talk about that episode of The Circle. I promise you.
Maybe we'll be a little less angry during that one.
Maybe not.
maybe we'll mask our anger better during that one.
Right. I really hated that circle. Oh man, screw that circle. Jonathan Van Ness. Oh,
how dare he?
We are going to get to that, and then I think our plan before we get into the season 2 episodes of Max Headroom is to review some inspirational and influential material that came before Max that had a little bit of a flavor of cyberpunk or the fringes, or maybe just the tenseness of what it's like to work for television. We're going to review a few things.
Who's up for a little history lesson?
And then we'll come back after that with the season 2 episode 1 episode Academy, where we will talk about Bryce kind of set this up at the end of season 1, where he mentioned like, oh yeah, I went to school at ACS.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we'll get to see ACS.
Seems like that's a safe bet.
This conversation needed to happen. I wanted it to happen. I have not been able to think of anything else since that ruling came through except, well, this is how they get to hear in the show.
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like we have to address it. And certainly, if you're wondering, wow, they talk about politics a lot on this show? Yeah, maybe you should listen to some of the older episodes. We talk about politics a lot on this show. We probably will again. It is our want. Thank you so much for joining me for this conversation. I think it's good to get back on track.
It is. It's good. It's always good to talk with you. And everybody, thanks for tuning in.
Yeah.
And we'll be back when we're back.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Until next time.
Keep screaming.
Yeah. Keep. I like that. I like that a lot.
Haven't stopped for years. Not gonna.
Can't stop, won't stop quoting things.
20 Minutes into the Future, a Max Headroom podcast with Heather and Austin. Theme song by Shot Reverse Shot, edited by Austin Ridge, in the Lava Lamp Lounge. Remixed by Kisu de Sal Ice of the Secret Light. You can write to mitchheadroom@gmail.com if you want to contact the show. Don't forget to visit patreon.com/AustinRidge to support this show and receive cool pins and other Max merch for the Max head in your life. You can also visit 20minutesintothefuture.org for show notes, podcasting links, and other information. This is announcer Mitch, signing off for Heather, Austin, and Network 23. Be seeing you.
You're currently, you're talking to the woman who currently is watching a new Netflix teen vampire drama.
I thought there was a new one that I heard about.
Yeah, so it's called First Kill.
Yes, and okay, yes, I did hear about this, yeah.
The premise is good. I'll give them that. The premise is good.
Mm-hmm.
The production is not.
It's oh, interesting.
Poorly done.
Like, the sets are cheap and the costumes are bad?
If only.
The costumes are just kind of clothes, though at times I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Really?
She would wear
really?
Something else.
I honestly don't know anything about fashion.
The acting, for the most part, really isn't very good.
Oh, no.
The dialogue is, if I wrote it,
mm-hmm.
I would want to polish it up.
Well, that's real good, but needs improvement.
The continuity, not great. Like, for example, one character had been kidnapped, and then she hadn't been home yet, but she was rescued and everything. She and her girlfriend went to the school to hide. And in the morning, when they woke up in the bed on the stage, because that was the only bed, you know, and they were doing Romeo and Juliet at the freaking school.
Sure.
She goes, oh, I'm so glad I forgot my phone.
Yeah, forgot that she was actually kidnapped.
Yeah.
Well, whatever,
I was
never
like,
mind.
No. I didn't forget that you're kidnapped. Then the thing that really got me hooked was the very first episode, they said to, like, a pale wan person who looked ill, you look peaked.
That's not how I'd say it.
Like, how did that get by?
Yeah, I mean, they clearly don't have, like, a language dialogue
right.
coach on set. Interesting.
Right, I mean, peaked.
Is this one of those things where we have reached a saturation point with television where the demand for TV shows is so high, but the availability of quality crews and people to participate in these shows is low, and so they're just now recruiting anybody and everybody to do some of those jobs. Is that what we're kind of getting to?
I mean, I think that's possible.
Seems like that's a safe bet.
The other thing in this First Kill show, they were talking about, like, scandal where a human liver was taken from a human, and the one character said, why would you take such a gruesome calling card?
Wait, what?
No, you leave a gruesome calling card. You take the liver, you leave the calling card.
Right. You sell that liver on the market, like, to a desperate doctor who is needs livers for transplants. You make a lot of money. I mean,
yeah.
Any vampire knows this.
Don't be angry. It's his first day.
Or to a witch who needs a poultice, but...
Oh, there you go. I mean, well,
yeah.
Who's paying more these days, the doctor or the witch?
Right? Yeah, so it's... I will finish this because I found out... I was so curious. I was like, is there anything online about this? I can't be the only person who's like...
Who noticed.
No, this is terrible, but I'm still watching. And I found one of those, like, is it worth watching? And the consensus on the internet was, no, give it a skip.
So why haven't you moved on then?
Well, I found out it's only 8 episodes and I'm on like episode 5, so.
Whatever.
I'll finish it.
Oh, well, who wants to live forever? What does the future hold? Some say it holds the promise of a young olive branch. Which means I might have to turn over a new leaf.
Next time on 20 Minutes into the Future.
Circle, message, crying emoji, heart emoji, crying emoji, heart emoji, crying emoji, heart emoji.
Wow.
The circle is back, and this time is more strategic than ever.
Welcome to the circle, huh?
Is that Chloe from Too Hot to Handle?
To stay in the game, players must become popular. And to do that, they can be real or try to fool everyone with a fake profile. And with $100,000 at stake, how you play, it's everything.
The 100K is coming home with me.
I could be my grandmother. I could be Justin Bieber.
I got my eye on you.
I just don't think that Trevor is who he says he is. Is he a catfish? Is he not?
Oh! There has been a Joker in the pack.
This could change the entire game.
People are lying. People are not even who they say they are.
There is some romance in the air when it comes to me and Trev.
One of you two are the catfish.
It's not a game for me now.
Aim of the game is to be popular. You weren't popular, babe.
Before you leave, you can meet one player face to face.
Oh, no.
Alert!
Lance Bass?
What's NSYNC?
Y'all never heard of NSYNC?
The Circle Season 2, Wednesdays starting April 14th.
Let the paranoia begin.
Only on Netflix.
We will be reviewing Season 2, Episode 7, finally. Though it still isn't entirely clear why, yet.
Would you like to help 20 Minutes into the Future build a family in the coming year and months of this program? Because I think together we can do this with a little script that we were given by our good friend Michael Cassett.
Michael Cassett has given us permission to do the actual television screenplay for the episode Families as an audio drama.
Say what? Pinch me. I must be dreaming.
So this is, as Michael was saying, he scanned this script from the shooting scripts that they were using back in 1987 to shoot Families.
As mentioned elsewhere, please consult our interviews with Michael, both in episode 4 and episode 9, where we discuss the reason the Families script was never finished, and why Michael has a copy today.
We have it, and we are going to put together an audio version of this, and the way this is going to happen is we're looking for some Patreon supporters to help not only support the show, but to kind of like give this script the attention that it deserves.
It's the right thing to do.
Because, let's be honest, we could just have you and me read it, which I
yes,
mean, like,
we could.
That's basically what we have for free lying around our studios if we really wanted to kind of cut the costs on this one.
Come on, don't do that.
But I think we'd like to do a little better than that. Essentially, we're going to deliver to you the episode Families that Michael was never able to actually finish. And we're going to do it in some form or another. But how it looks and what quality it is and who we can get for this production is going to depend on you, the listener.
I made this.
So the more supporters we get and the more people that want to kind of kick in and help make this thing a reality, the better the production we're going to be able to deliver.
Well, that just makes sense.
How much we can invest in, say, hiring for new music, getting little sound effects produced, that kind of stuff. It really comes down to how much support we get for this project.
Once again, for those who were zoning out for a moment like Heather, please help us build a family, but bringing this unproduced vintage Max Headroom script to life. Visit patreon.com/AustinRidge and then select one of the support levels that makes sense to you. The more supporters we get, the more cool things we can do with this production, and the more benefits contributors will earn. Visit 20minutesintothefuture.org for more information about our plans for this project. If you want it to be all it can be, then we urge you to donate today.